Hello and welcome, wherever you are, and whatever time of day or night that you're joining us. We come together to worship God, and our call to worship, some words from Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And our opening hymn reminds us of how great is God's mercy. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea.
Praise and in hope, with eyes open to the wonder of your grace, we present ourselves before you in this building, in our homes, apart in space, but united in your love. Be among us today. Join us together in the radical spirit of change and new perspectives. Shine your light on the possibilities and the potential for a different way through you. As your church continues to discern our path forward, we ask for the boldness to hold what is good and overturn what blocks our path towards service of you and each other. We pray for all those who bear the heavy burden of leadership, that they find the wisdom to serve all peoples. We pray for the isolated and the lonely, that they will find strength and comfort in you. We pray for all those who are ill, that they will find healing in your love. And on this day, as we strive to follow your Son Jesus on the path of love for all, caring for ourselves and each other, help us to work, to see and to seek the change for which this world is so desperate. In Jesus' name we pray.
The first reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting at verse 26. The passage is read from the Good News version of the Bible. The passage is entitled Nathan's Message and David's Repentance. When Bathsheba heard that her husband had been killed, she mourned for him. When the time of mourning was over, David sent for her to come to the palace. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the Lord was not pleased with what David had done. the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. Nathan went to him and said, "There were two men who lived in the same town. One was rich and the other poor. The rich man had many cattle and sheep, while the poor man had only one lamb which he had bought. He took care of it, and it grew up in his home with his children. He would feed it with some of his own food, let it drink from his cup, and hold it in his lap. The lamb was like a daughter to him. One day, a visitor arrived at the rich man's house. The rich man didn't want to kill one of his own animals to prepare a meal for him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and cooked a meal for his guest. David was very angry with the rich man and said, 'I swear by the living Lord that the man who did this ought to die. For having done such a cruel thing, he must pay back four times as much as he took.' 'You are that man,' Nathan said to David, 'and this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I made you king of Israel and rescued you from Saul. I gave you his kingdom and his wives. I made you king over Israel and Judah. If this had not been enough, I would have given you twice as much. Why then have you disobeyed my commands? Why did you do this evil thing? You had Uriah killed in battle. You let the Ammonites kill him, and then you took his wife. Now, in every generation, some of your descendants will die a violent death because you have disobeyed me and have taken Uriah's wife. I swear to you that I will cause someone from your own family to bring trouble on you. You will see it when I take your wives from you and give them to another man, and he will have intercourse with them in broad daylight. You sinned in secret, but I will make this happen in broad daylight for all Israel to see. I have sinned against the Lord,' David said."
The second reading is from Psalm 51, starting at verse 1. The passage is entitled, "A Prayer for Forgiveness." "Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. I recognize my faults. I am always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you, only against you, and done what you consider evil. So you are right in judging me. You are justified in condemning me. I have been evil from the day I was born. From the time I was conceived, I have been sinful. Sincerity and truth are what you require. Fill my mind with your wisdom. Remove my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness. And though you have crushed me and broken me, I will be happy once again. Close your eyes to my sins and wipe out all my evil. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit in me. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Give me again the joy that comes from your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Amen."
The reading we've just heard from the second book of Samuel is the second half of last week's reading. Last week, we heard how David saw and desired Bathsheba, while her husband Uriah was absent fighting in David's army. David had Bathsheba brought to his house and slept with her. Bathsheba became pregnant, and David, wanting to cover up what he'd done, called Uriah back from the fighting, supposedly to update him on the world's progress,
but really so that Uriah would sleep with his wife during the visit. Then David would be off the hook, so as to speak, and Bathsheba's pregnancy would be attributed to her husband. Despite David's efforts, Uriah refused to break the rules of purity that apply to soldiers, and kept the oath he would have taken to abstain from sexual relations while engaged in military action. So David decided to have Uriah killed in the fighting. Then no one would know for sure what had happened. After Uriah's death, Bathsheba became a wife of David. This is an uncomfortable reminder that whilst much straying from God's ways, much sin is unintentional, something we may almost accidentally slip into. There are occasions of wrongdoing, of sin, that are deliberate and intentional. David didn't accidentally stray. He was aware that Bathsheba was married. He knew that sleeping with her was wrong. His actions in trying to cover it up were both intentional and calculated. At the beginning of today's reading, we heard, not surprisingly, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sends the prophet Nathan to speak to David. Nathan doesn't just launch into a diatribe on David's failings, doesn't immediately read the riot act. Instead, he starts by relating a story which David understands to be a factual account of an actual incident. The rich man who has plenty, but is selfish and greedy, not wishing to give up a single one of his many animals as food for a visitor, but instead taking the cherished pet lamb of a poor man who has little else. David is incensed by the rich man's behaviour. He says, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." It can be a very human trait to see the wrongdoings of others, but not of ourselves. Perhaps something worth remembering. However, David's righteous indignation at the rich man's actions is soon replaced by far more uncomfortable feelings of having to face what he himself has done. As Nathan says, "You are that man." David's actions are no longer covered up, buried, forgotten. David cannot pretend that they didn't happen, or that he really had good reasons for acting as he did. God knows the truth, and in the innermost part of his being, David knew the truth. And Nathan doesn't leave it there. As God's spokesperson, he further points out that David had sinned against God despite all the blessings that David has received. And Nathan lists those blessings. God anointed you king. God delivered you from Saul's attacks. God gave you the palace, the treaty marriages, the prestige. God gave you the land and brought the tribes to kneel before you. If that wasn't enough, God would have given you yet more blessing. David was a man rich in blessings. He has to face the full horror of what he has done, sinning against man and sinning against God. He has despised the word of the Lord and done what is evil. David acknowledges this. "I have sinned against the Lord." He repents He turns back to God, who, through Nathan, forgives him. Now the Lord has put away your sin. I think that it's important to realise that the purpose of Nathan's visit was to bring David back to God, to make him acknowledge his sin so that he could repent, turn back. The purpose was not to berate him and leave him sinking in shame and despond. Yes, he had to experience those feelings before he could truly repent, but he wasn't to remain there forever. Perhaps another point worth pondering. Whilst, like David, we may see the wrongdoing of others, also, like David, we may pretend that some things in our own actions either didn't really happen or that we couldn't really help it. There were good reasons for our behaviour. We may try to cover things up. It doesn't work. It didn't work for David, and it won't work for us. God knows exactly what we did and why. God knows the truth. And in the innermost part of our being, however much we try to hide it, we will know the truth. The truth that will niggle away deep inside and disturb our peace. But like David, we can rely on God's mercy. We can turn back to God and lay that burden, however large, however small, at his feet. With the psalmist, we can pray, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit." We can pray with great confidence because, as St. John's Gospel reminds us, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This does not mean that we will never have to face the consequences of our actions. Our wrongdoing, our sin, like David's, has consequences for us and for those around us. However much David thought he had covered up his actions, there would have been people in his army and in his household who knew what had happened. David would no longer be trusted as a leader or as a man. Would soldiers trust someone who's taken the wife of one of their own and then murdered that soldier? Seeing what he was capable of, would David's family trust him? Nathan predicts that trouble will arise in David's family, and it certainly does. In the following chapters, we read of a baby's death, rape, incest, murder, rebellion. Actions have consequences. But whatever consequences we may have to face, we do so in the knowledge that Christ is with us. He is ever ready in his love and in his mercy to support us and to restore us. As our opening hymn reminded us, there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice which is more than liberty. There's a welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Saviour. There is healing in his blood. But we make God's love too narrow. by false limits of our own, and we magnify its strictness with a zeal God will not own. For the love of God is broader than the measures of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we should rest upon God's word, and our lives would be illumined by the presence of our Lord. We receive mercy, forgiveness, and love, and we should willingly extend that mercy, forgiveness, and love to others. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we come like the prophets because we are called to follow you. We come like the disciples before us because we are called to follow our Saviour, Christ Jesus. Come as your beloved children, we who live within the world, who are counted amongst humanity, but are striving ever to be of you. We come. We come in this time of change, of despair, but of emergent hope. Bless our lives as we seek to leave the darkness of fear and to walk into the light of hope. For we come as we are, in need of your care, comforted in your love, giving thanks for your freely given grace. We come as we are, in need of forgiveness for what we've done and what we have failed to do. We come. We come separated in space, but united in community. Help us today and every day to know what it is to follow you, to walk in the footsteps of those who came before us, to live like Jesus, and to be strengthened in the Spirit. We have been called loving God, and so we come. In Jesus' name, we come. Amen.
As we think of the richness of God's blessings to us, let us consider what we can offer God in the service of his kingdom. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour, and the majesty, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. May what we offer be used in your service. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Praise the Lord, my soul. care for the needs of the creatures beneath your watchful eye. You're our creator and king. Your goodness surrounds everything. Ruling with kindness and walking beside us, reigning in majesty. Praise the Lord, my soul. God, you are wonderful. All of creation praise because of you. You have poured your heart into this world.
As we go about our daily lives, may we be assured of God's merciful and loving presence with us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, with all whom we love, and with all God's children everywhere. Amen.
Shine upon.